Well, good morning, everyone. I hope you're doing well. This is a cool series. It's really interesting getting to hear like different ways of connecting with God. Our God is so great, so mighty, and there are so many ways that we can connect with Him. The challenge with this series, though, is speaking on something that hasn't been picked already. And so, you know, some things like prayer and scripture and community, they're all amazing. And the one I am going to speak to you about this morning, I hope will be a little bit of a surprise to you, because it was a bit of a surprise to me. But it's one of my favorite ways to connect with God. And to experience this, you need to focus. You need to be active in this. But also, to experience this, you're going to need to read. And I know all the readers in the room probably just leaned in. They're like, okay, I can do this. And everyone else is like, okay, no, I'm leaving. So if I've already lost you 30 seconds in, I'm sorry. It's not that kind of reading. It's actually more like a picture book and a really, really vivid picture book. So now I lost all the readers. But before we do that, I really want you to know what my goal is for you this morning. This morning, I want you to see God's beauty. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you that you are so, so beautiful. Lord, help us to gaze upon your beauty, to long for it. I pray that you'd speak to us this morning. Lord, that your word would be so vibrant to us this morning as we look to it, to guide us, to shape us, to mold us, to help us know you, know your heart so much more. I pray in your mighty name, Yeshua. Amen. Okay, so like I said, there's reading involved, and you might have heard before, but maybe you haven't. God has two main books. So there's the book that is in front of you. That's the Bible, the book of his words. And then there's the book of his works. So this is general revelation. This is creation. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is experiencing God and connecting with God through being in nature. And it's something that's been talked about a lot over the years. Galileo, you've probably learned about him in school at some point because he was pretty famous for his work on understanding that the earth goes around the sun. So I know he's not particularly popular amongst flat earthers this morning, but that guy, he was a pretty strong advocate for this sense of like two books that God had. And he said that nature is a book written in the language of mathematics. Now I'm really losing everyone, but we're not gonna do any math. It's just to help explain and illustrate that nature can be understood the way you read a book and understood the book you read. And creation helps us understand amazing aspects, amazing features of the one who authored nature. And there's so much magnificence of nature that just points us to the one who is truly magnificent. Nature's wonderful, beautiful author that's behind all the beauty. Romans 1:20 tells us, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." God's invisible attributes, which are his eternal power and divine nature. Two things that we don't see directly. His eternal power is invisible. His divine nature, that's just another way of saying him being God, is not visible. But what is visible, somehow his invisible qualities have been clearly seen. Not just barely seen, not seen at all. Like the invisible qualities are clearly seen. Invisible attributes, like God's eternal power, can be understood by what he's made. God's divine nature can be understood by what he's made. There is something that I think is truly Edenic about going out in nature. I think it calls to us in a certain way that our hearts have a longing to walk with God in the garden in the cool of the day and long for the restoration of Eden. There is something truly special that happens inside our hearts, inside our minds, in our bodies when we are just out in nature. So just a few situations that I like to find myself in nature. One is going on long, arduous walks up giant piles of rocks, and we call it hiking. And we go up there and we go, wow. And then we turn around and go back. I think there's something really special and spiritual even about hiking, where you go and you spend all day exerting tons of energy, pushing your body so much to get to the top and go back, and you leave changed by the mountain, but the mountain doesn't even know you were there. And there's something really humbling about that. And I love to go camping or camp, just sleep outside. And that's where, like, I just came back a few days ago from being at adventure camp at Camp Livingstone. And so I've been outside this whole time. And now I'm trying to like readjust to being indoors, and it's a little hard. But there are so many other ways that I love to connect with God through nature, whether that's swimming or kayaking or just walking in parks, or, you know, going fishing with Matt and just observing stuff. Like, there is so much. Like, if you go out there afterwards, just take a look around. See everything that there is over there. There's so many, like, just amazing things to look at. So many amazing things in nature. Like, there's beauty and peace, but there's also adventure and excitement and all these storylines that take place all around us all the time. And life, like, there is just absurd amounts of life everywhere we go. We can't fully notice it because it's just so much, and it sustains itself. There's the circle of life. I wish I could have the soundtrack playing in the background, but the ecosystems themselves are so varied. Like, if you think of all the different ecosystems on Earth, it is kind of crazy to try to grasp it all at once. If you think of the different kinds of just forests, you get boreal forests, you get tropical forests, you get temperate forests, and even within those forests, you get a treetop canopy ecosystem that's completely different from the forest floor ecosystem, and there's several ecosystems in between that. You get grasslands and deserts, which oftentimes we just think of deserts as like dunes, like sand dunes and heat, but there are cold deserts too. The two biggest deserts in the world are the Antarctic and Arctic deserts. There's grass, there's alpine ecosystems, there's freshwater, like lakes, rivers, wetlands, there's saltwater, like seas, oceans, tidal regions. There's so much. And in those, we find so much life everywhere. We find life that is so microscopic that we can't see. Tons of just single-celled creatures, single-celled living things, like bacteria and archaea, and also like single-celled eukaryotes as well. Like, there's just so much. How do you think about, quantify, analyze, look at all of these different things? And there are like the single-celled organisms I've been talking about. There are some that can be single-celled or multicellular. You have algae, you have slime molds. Someone just had a shiver go down their spine thinking of that. But you also get like fungi that can be single-celled, like molds and yeast. And that's how we get amazing things like bread and yogurt, or multicellular, like mushrooms. And then we think of just all the plants, of mosses. There are so many different kinds of mosses out there. They look just like these fluffy nature carpets, but there are so many different kinds of mosses and ferns and trees, deciduous and conifers and little plants, like all the little weeds and the grasses and all the different kinds of flowers and fruits and roots. And then we get into the animals, and there are so many kinds of animals to look at that can just absolutely dazzle us and captivate our attention so much. So we look at things that we often don't even think about as animals, like sponges and corals are animals, and mollusks and worms and sea urchins and bugs and vertebrates. And if we want to look a little bit more closely at the vertebrates, because we're most familiar with those, we get like lampreys and amphibians and fish and reptiles and birds and mammals. You get your neighbor's annoying dog and your cat and your pet bird and a monkey and someone just poked their son. And there's so much life, so many amazing animals for us to just behold and be like, wow, look at that. That points to something. But there's such a problem, is that our ability to be awed is so numbed. Our ability to stand in wonder and gaze and just be impressed has been reduced and numbed. Some of it is just because of the fact that we can't take everything in. Like afterwards, I want to challenge you to go outside and look at all the different kinds of living things that you'll see. All the different kinds of grasses, all the different kinds of weeds in the yard, all the different trees, and all the different animals, the birds, the ants, and everything. And then I want you to count each and every individual living thing. I know no one's going to take me up on that challenge because no one wants to be here for the next month. But there's so much life all around us that it's too much for us to contain. But also, we're numb to it as our society and social media work so hard to harvest our attention as much as possible, to take our attention as a resource to be exploited, that leaves us numb to the wondrous complexities and simplicities that are happening all over, all around, the things that we don't stop to notice because we are dazzled by what we see on screens more than being dazzled by what we see out there. And there's non-life, like I talked before with hiking, like what is it about a giant pile of rocks or a giant slab chunk of rock that stands into the air that makes us stop and go, wow. Like it is rock, but we stop and we gaze and we look at it and we're impressed by it. And valleys and rolling hills and craters and beaches and caves and glaciers and icebergs. There's so much in nature to be dazzled by, to be enticed by, to see the beauty of. And if we look up and we see the sky, I have never met someone, and I probably never will, who thinks something like, you know what I hate in life? A vibrant sunset with all the colors on the clouds, and I just can't stand that. I don't know, have you ever felt this way? Okay, not many hands are going up. That's good, because that would have like made the whole thing fall apart. But there's beauty in clouds. There's beauty in the sunrises, there's beauty in the sunsets. And they're there for us to notice. But most of the time, we don't notice them. And what we don't notice even more, part of it is also just being in the city, but it's the night sky with all of its splendor, with the moon that shines spectacularly bright and the stars. Like, I got to witness this incredible starry sky a few nights ago. There was a power outage at camp, which was amazing on a clear night, because I got to see the Milky Way just streak across the sky right above me. And I had about 45 minutes out there where it was clear between some cloud cover coming in and some leaving. And this was between midnight and 12:45, and I had a staff meeting at 7:45 in the morning. But no part of me regretted that. That hour I spent out there flew by so fast. To just look up and see a million different dots, many of which are stars that are significantly larger than our sun, many of which are galaxies full of stars. All those little dots that are so far of reach, so far out of reach, but just there, dazzling us, inviting us to consider something greater, something further beyond themselves. And it's not just out of fun that I think we should be outside and enjoy nature. There are some real, like, psychological benefits to it as well. From the Canadian Psychological Association, we see that nature actually helps to restore attention and our ability to concentrate. It also helps us feel calmer, less irritable. And from a study done at the University of Essex, 5 minutes of what they call green exercise, which can be a number of different outdoor activities. It can be walking through the woods. It can be going on a bike ride. It can be doing some gardening. 5 minutes a day correlates to reductions in anxiety and stress, improved mood, self-esteem, attention, concentration, and physical health. And they noted that being outside does help promote just general physical activity as well, which also probably ties into the correlation. So even though they did establish, yes, these are correlations, there's probably a pretty strong link there. And it's one that I've experienced myself many times, just going into the woods and feeling my body relax very quickly. This is from our very own here in Montreal, McGill. It says that our body's fight or flight can actually calm down. Your heart rate slows, your breathing starts to deepen, and the part of your brain that is primarily involved in threat detection, the amygdala, reduces its activity. And this is here's a study that came out of South Korea that said that resting with nature sounds after an attention task is more effective on physiologically and psychologically relaxation than urban sounds. And even just anecdotally, this man I was talking to a few days ago, and he's been sleeping in the woods for a few weeks with, like, through camp and everything, and ministering to kids. And his wife came up to visit him at some point, and she told him, there is something in you that I haven't seen in a very long time. And he attributed it to just sleeping outside. Because there's so many worries, so many concerns that we have in life that somehow seem to lose their importance when we go out. So this brings us to our text for the day, Psalm 19, if you want to flip to it in your Bibles. If not, it'll be on the screen. These first few verses are very, they're some of the most popular verses in the Psalms. And then they go into something deeper and deeper as the psalm goes. So if the first few feel familiar, don't tune them out because we're going to see so much more beauty. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. David starts by looking up, sees this magnificence. There's intricacy, there's patterns, there's order, incredible order. This is all happening right in front of him, these endless aesthetics, just beauty everywhere. And I am going to make a shockingly bold claim here. Nature is beautiful. And even in March, when all the trees look dead and there is slush and like just everything is brown and seemingly ugly, I think it's still beautiful. It's a beautiful reminder of the changing seasons, of the cycle of life. And there is beauty all around us all the time. Beauty is often considered to be transcendental. It's a fundamental universal quality of just things that exist. It's all over us. It's all around us. Which does beg the question, why? Like, why are there beautiful things all around us? Why would God make things beautiful? He genuinely could have made us to exist on a cube of cement, and that's it. But God made things so beautiful. Colossians 1, 15 to 17 tells us the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Why? Why create a beautiful universe? Because it's an outflow of his character. That is who he is. God is ultimate beauty, and he creates, he guides, he directs nature in beauty. And it's the same thing for all his other attributes. His goodness, his justice, his care. This is also, it came from McGill, but it says that fractal patterns in nature are easier for the brain to process and require less mental effort than the fast-paced and visually dense stimuli found in cities or online. I think one of the most underrated gifts that we have from God is our own ability to perceive nature, to perceive beauty. There's something about us, something in our wiring that looks at those giant piles of rocks and goes, wow, instead of just feeling nothing. There is something about us that is able to capture the beauty in some way of things that are all around us every single day. We just don't always appreciate it. But I think it's such an important gift because it's a gift that makes us pause. It's a gift that makes us notice. It's a gift that makes us look beyond ourselves, look around, and then look beyond what we even see. The way that David does here, it slows us down and helps us recalibrate. Because life is full of worries. Life is full of frustrations and problems. And those things are real. But when we go and gaze upon beauty, we have to at least let go of some of that to be able to grasp what is beautiful. Worry truly does captivate us. Fear captivates us. But so does beauty. And to be captivated by beauty, we have to let some things aside, at the very least temporarily alleviating the weight and the burden of the worries and troubles. But at most, it can make those disappear. Some of the most beautiful tears that you can ever cry are tears of beauty. They are, according to Psychology Today, about 8% of positive tears are tears of beauty, very rare tears to cry. But they are tears that come from an overflow of being so struck with awe and wonder. And this is where we see that just being struck with amazement at what God has made is not enough. We have to see what is it all about. And this is what David is showing us here, what he's inviting us to see that God is more beautiful than you ever thought, more amazing than you ever imagined. Allow yourself to really be enticed by the simplicities and complexities all around. Let the beauty of the beautiful, that the beautiful one has ingrained into this earth, dazzle your heart with excitement for the one who masterfully originated it and arranged it all. He realizes there's this magnificence in God because of the things that God has made that point directly to him. Right away, he's looking beyond their beauty. Right away, he's looking at what are they saying? What are they revealing? Because they are speaking. They have wordless words. Somehow, they don't speak words, but they utter incredible proclamations while being silent. And then he looks and observes the sun that rises like it's in a tent at night and allows us to rest and have night. And then it rises and it's full of life, full of energy, full of excitement as it runs its course across the sky, giving life to everything. It works the way it's supposed to work. It functions the way it was designed to function. And really, really well, where it says at the end of verse six, nothing is deprived of its warmth. If the powerful sun that God commands to rise, run its course, and set works exactly as God instructs it to, how should people respond to God? This is the next part. This is where David's meditation takes him deeper into understanding God. This is starting at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them, your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That is a beautiful meditation. That is a meditation that goes beyond just looking. Like, he sees all this beauty around him, but he doesn't let it stop him there. He allows it to captivate his mind to focus on God, focus on the one who made it all. This is one of the most special ways to connect with God. You see the beautiful things he's made, but you let it just drive you right to his heart. Right to understanding so much more of him. These skies that speak so powerfully without words draw him, make him notice that things are where they are, where God has placed things to be in existence. And so God is trustworthy. And if we can trust these wordless words of things that God has placed, then we should totally trust the words that he has given us that we can really read for ourselves, understand, and know for ourselves. How do humans, how do we as people have the audacity to defy the one that even the sun doesn't defy? The sun, if we were to get anywhere close to it, would instantly burn us. It is so powerful, and it doesn't defy the Lord. This whole meditation leads him to trust God, to see the value of God's word, to see how beautiful God's instructions are. And it leads him to a place of repentance. It's not usually what we think about when we think of nature. But it leads him to consider and confront his own heart, his own tendency to go against God. Who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. This is a man who's gotten to a point of really trusting and seeing the immense value in God's instructions and what they guide him to, because they guide him to, as he describes at the very end, Lord, using a personal name there, my rock, he's stable, steady, and trustworthy, and my redeemer, the one who redeems, not I, he, the one who breaks the bondage of sin. Not us, him, by his power. The one whose power is so great to pinpoint stars in the sky, in space, and hold them there and keep them in his mighty control. He is the one who is worthy of our praise. He is the one who redeems. He is the one who is our rock, who is worthy, who is trustworthy, that we can truly depend on and learn about and go ever deeper into his heart. These are meditations that I want us all to have, that start in seeing the beauty, seeing what he's done, and guide us to want so much more of him, so much more of his purity to take over us. And in conclusion, the band can start coming back up. I want you to temporarily set your troubles aside. Go out. Reclaim the awe that you were designed with an ability to hold. Go into nature. Go meet with your Father, your rock, your Redeemer, the Lord. Slow down. God is more beautiful than you ever thought. Let it move you into deep worship like it did for David. And if you want just some practical ways that, like really practical ways that you can do this, go for a bike ride in Cap Saint-Jacques and maybe help out Charles at the farm. You can walk around Angel Woods or Centennial Park, or you can explore a random forest ecosystem, or you can go bird watching at the Morgan Arboretum. You can take a guided tour if you don't know what to look for. You can hike up Mount Royal or Mount Rigo or go up north. You can boat around Lac Saint-Louis. You can go camping. You can just walk around, try to identify like tree species in your neighborhood. You can interact with what's around. You can watch animals interact. You can listen to the sounds of birds. You can feel the textures of different rocks. You can feel the wind. If you physically can't do most of these, that's okay. Do what you can. Appreciate the beauty that's in nature, but don't let it stop at just the beauty of nature. Recognize that it all speaks to one who is infinitely beautiful and limitlessly glorious. Lord Almighty, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the invitation to gaze upon you, to know you more, to know you deeper from the things that you've made, for the things you've orchestrated. Lord, you are so trustworthy. There is evidence all around us of how wonderful, how great you are. Help us to stop, notice, and let nature, let beauty take us, captivate us, dazzle us to reach for you. Not to just settle for the beauty of nature, but to really reach for the one that sculpted it all. The one whose paintbrush strokes are all around us. That we get to see how we actually get to walk out in your world. This is your world that we get to be a part of. This is you beckoning us to gaze upon you, to be in awe, to admire you, to be wonder filled with wonderment and astonishment and bewilderment and fascination and captivation and just be charmed by you. We love you, Lord. We pray in your mighty and beautiful name, Yeshua.